This is the Love That Album Compilation Edition, covering soundtracks, tribute albums, best ofs, box sets, and more.
Stop the world and let me know. I'm tired of going round and round. I play the game of love and law. So stop the world and let me off. My dreams are shattered, don't you see? Now you no longer care. Wonder of your kids, how could you leave me here like this? Stop the world and let me know.
Greetings, Love That Album crew. It's Eric Reanimator. I am back for another compilation edition. Where I am in the world, it is August. It is one of my least favorite months. It's hot, it's gross, it's long, it's hazy. And the only thing you can fight that with, in my opinion, is a cold beverage and some country and blues. So we're going to be talking about four compilations. This is kind of a dueling compilations deal. The first up, we've got two tribute to Waylon Jennings albums, and then following that with two tributes to the late, great Jeffrey Lee Pierce of the Gun Club. But first, we're talking about Waylon, the also late, great, unfortunately, Waylon, who passed in 2002. He was one of the great country singers and actually rock and roll guys. He was Buddy Holly's bass player. And a lot of people don't know that. He was supposed to be on that plane and gave up his seat to the Big Bopper, and it haunted him for the rest of his life. But throughout the 70s, he blazed a trail of outlaw country. And I'm going to stop here for those who don't know what outlaw country is. Basically, through the 60s, you had a manufactured country industry in Nashville where artists would be given songs and given studio musicians and told what to put on their albums. But in the early 70s, Waylon and Willie decided that that wasn't good enough. Waylon wanted to play with his touring band in the studio, and he wanted to be able to pick his songs. And he wound up recording the great, great Honky Tonk Heroes, which is a great album. If anybody wants to get into Waylon's own music, I recommend starting with Honky Tonk Heroes. And Willie just went off to Austin and did his own thing in the same way. It was very punk rock of them. So at any rate, they were the elder statesmen of country music for the longest time. And in the 80s, they formed with Johnny Cash and Kris Kristofferson in The Highwaymen, which is also a great project people can check out. But in the early 2000s, 2003, there was a pair of tribute albums that came out to Waylon after his passing. And the first one, the one that we're pulling tracks off of right now, is called I've Always Been Crazy. And that features more mainstream kind of country artists, people like Travis Tritt and Hank Williams Jr., Allison Cross, maybe not so mainstream, Brooks and Dunn are on here, and then there's actually Waylon Jennings track. At the same time, you get John Mellencamp, Dwight Yoakam, you get Stargun, which is Shooter Jennings, Waylon's son's band of the era, and some James Hetfield from Metallica. So let's check out a few of the tracks from this album.
Like D.O.G.
We'll be right back.
Always Been Crazy is a fine tribute album. There's some standout tracks. There's some great covers on here. There's also some duds, some things that didn't work for me, but that's okay. Overall, it's pretty good. However, I have to say that I think the one I'm about to cover, The Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean, is the better record. But let's transition into talking about that by listening to a little bit of Waylon's Widow, Jesse Coulter, doing Storms Never Last. I've Always Been Crazy was definitely a little more establishment. Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean was definitely a lot more indie rock. Listen to some of these artists: Norah Jones, Kris Kristofferson, Junior Brown, John Doe, Dave Alvin, Henry Rollins, and Alejandro Escovedo. I mean, how can you go wrong with that lineup of not quite mainstream, but not super underground acts covering Waylon tunes? And I think, by and large, they did a great job. Here's a sampling of a couple of the artists that I just mentioned. Come running when you call. The way you hurt me, it's a wonder I'm still here at all. Someday you'll wake up and you'll find yourself alone, lock, stock, and teardrops. I'll be gone.
I'm not here to forget you, I'm here to recall the things we used to say and do. I don't want to get old. I don't want to get over you. I haunt the same places we used to go, alone at a table for two. I don't want to get over you. I don't want to get over you. I ought to give me the world, it's a prize.
Nashville Rebel, they say, leave that boy alone. Don't you give him advice or he'll turn to ice, and you might as well talk to stone. And I've got things to do and things to say in my own way. I don't have time for your parties or love little guessing games. I've got songs to write in the still of night. I was born to write and sing, 'cause I've got things to do and things to say in my own way.
For my money as well, the song selection is probably better. In addition to some of the better known hits like Will It Surprise, which we heard a little bit of Norah Jones's version there, Good Hearted Woman by Guy Clark, and, you know, I've Always Been Crazy on here as well, you get some more deeper cuts like Alejandro Escovedo's Lock, Stock, and Teardrops, or Junior Brown doing Nashville Rebel, which song I really like, and I like his version. It also strikes me, as I often bring up, old punks become country guys. On here we've got John Doe from X, we've got Junior Brown, who was in Rank and File, we've got Henry Rollins, who was in Black Flag, got Dave Alvin from the Blasters, and of course Alejandro Escovedo from both Rank and File and the Nuns. So it kind of is a real illustration of that joining of the country, the true country music, and, you know, the aging punk rockers. Sorry guys, but it's kind of true. So if you're going to pick up one of these two tribute albums, I'd go with the Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean. If you want to pick up the other one, hey, there's some great tracks on it. Either way, Waylon is an artist that needs to have more exposure and more people need to rediscover. He was more than just a country superstar. He was part of the fabric and history of popular music from the 50s through his death, whether it was as a member of Buddy Holly's Crickets or was a member of the Highwaymen, the supergroup, and really standing up to the labels and allowing for artists to have greater power and control in deciding what they were going to do with their music. So I'm going to leave now with a little bit of Henry Rollins doing that Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about that prophet of the blues who left us before his time, the one, the only, Jeffrey Lee Pierce of the Gun Club.
Been doing things my way. It's been making me lonesome. Ornery and mean. Well, her hair was jet black, and her name was Goldie. I thought she was a queen of the Basin Street Queens. Well, she got tired of the snowy white dream. She got tired of looking lonesome on her hand.
There's a man behind you, the sound of rain. You may fall to darker times, fall to darker times. Life is full of many roads. You need to choose which way to go. You'll come to ride that road. And in the hands of God, for your soul. In the hands of God. A man who spoke no fear, he searched for truth to bring him near, and off he went to ride that road. He had a rambling soul and a rambling mind. He had a rambling mind.
So that's Nick Cave with Ramblin' Mind. From the We Are Only Writers, the Jeffrey Lee Pierce Sessions Project. So the way this worked was some old cassettes of demo sessions and sketching writing sessions were discovered by one of Jeffrey Lee Pierce's collaborators. He decided to enlist a bunch of musicians to help him record proper versions of those songs and fill them out. And the result was three, at this point, discs of the Jeffrey Lee Pierce Sessions project. And we're going to be talking about two of them. The first one, which I'm talking about now, the We Are Only Writers, and the latest one, I should say, Axles and Sockets. This first volume features Nick Cave, Mark Lanegan, The Ravenettes, Debbie Harry, Lydia Lunch, The Sadies, Johnny Dowd, and a bunch of other people whose names I frankly don't recognize. But that's a pretty solid lineup. People doing kind of bluesy, country, dark stuff, the kind of thing that you play at 11 o'clock on a hazy August night with a cold beer in your hand. Yeah, this is music unlike other stuff you're going to hear. That's all there's to it. It's very dark and cinematic, and it's growling and gothy, but at the same time, it's very, very rootsy. And as I'm running out of adjectives, it's time to listen to some tracks.
Your path is free to walk. Your door is always open, and your path is free to walk. Will I be able to dream easy? Try to watch us in the shade. Is always open, and your path is free to walk.
For which we had waited. The hawkers have packed up their stands. Nothing to be traded. The Soviets beside the quay run to the freighter. Terrace of the Rex Hotel is closed by the waiters. We need you. Oh, Lucky Jim, where have you gone? Oh, Lucky Jim.
Probably back up at this point and talk a little bit about Jeffrey Lee Pierce himself. He was the frontman of the legendary Gun Club, the great punk blues band from the early 80s LA punk scene. If you think of the Cramps as being the 50s rock and roll slash rockabilly punk band, the Gun Club was kind of their opposite number with the blues thing. A little bit of rockabilly in there, obviously, and also definitely a 50s rock and roll vibe. Most famously, they covered Fire of Love, which was a Jody Reynolds song, best known for songs like The Love of Ivy, Speaking of the Cramps. Two great albums, Miami and Las Vegas Story, are both well worth checking out and tracking down. They put out some other great stuff. Their first album, Fire of Love, is a masterpiece of that early punk era. So after the initial punk wave, Pierce definitely fell into this groove of doing this itinerant blues country kind of troubadour existence. And of course, as with so many other artists, he had a bigger following in Europe, I think particularly in France and Germany. The Gun Club were fairly popular, along with his solo recordings. He also did get a little bit into writing some stuff, including an autobiography. By the late 80s and into the early 90s, his health was declining. Years of drug abuse were starting to catch up with him, and he passed in 1996, leaving behind a legacy that few of his peers have. And at the same time, he kind of missed out on the revival of that LA punk scene. The current book that just came out, Under the Big Black Sun by John Doe, included so many of the members of that scene contributing chapters and essays, and if Jeffrey Lee Pierce was still around, it's a no-brainer that one of them would be his. And he is referenced several times in the book. He is maybe the great casualty of the LA punk scene, aside from Darby Crash. So while he's gone, we still have his music, we still have these interest in the music of his that wasn't fully realized, and his friends largely were the ones that come and fill those tracks out and give them a life beyond his death. We're now 20 years past him having left us, and people are still talking about him, still listening to his music. There was a documentary that came out about him. Last I looked, it was up on YouTube if you want to check that out. So rather than my continuing to ramble, I'm going to play a couple tracks off of the second of the discs that I have, entitled Axles and Sockets, and then I'll get on out of here. So, without further ado.
Well, I'm so happy that you came here. I'm so happy I spilled my beer. I'm so happy my bus is going too. Nobody's sitting.
Thank you.
just real quick there, we heard some Iggy Pop, and then a track featuring Debbie Harry on vocals, and then what we're listening to now is a song called Weird Kids Blues, as performed by Julie Christensen, who was in the band Divine Horsemen, a band I quite enjoy. We're going to end it now with a little bit of one of those mix-up duets of some vocals from somebody that's long gone. We're going to hear Jeffrey Lee Pierce himself with Lydia Lunch. This is The Journey Is Long. Before we get to that, just want to mention really quickly that I have started doing YouTube videos where I talk mainly about music, show vinyl, show my 7-inch collection, talk about things I've recently gotten. So you can hit me up on the Facebook page. I try to post those on the Love That Album page if people want to check them out. They're pretty short. If that's your thing, take a look. Otherwise, we'll be back next month. And if you're in a part of the world that's super, super hot, do what you can to keep cool. Later.
Task has overwhelmed us, so that we've simply become axles and sockets in a growing menacing machine.
We are only riders, axles and sockets.
The journey is long.
Our task has overwhelmed us.
The journey is long. We are only riders. So that we have simply become axles and sockets in a growing menacing machine. The task has overwhelmed us.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.